Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off this Friday with Peter Hanks. He is an analyst over at Daily FX. Peter joins me about every 3 weeks to summarize his thoughts on these markets. And Peter, I think the most important thing coming for these markets, while we are in earnings season, is the earnings of some of the largest companies out there and the companies that have really been the engine of strength behind this rebound in the U.S. equity markets. They are leading the broad averages higher because if you actually dive into the U.S. markets, it's really just a select few or handful of stocks that the money does seem to be moving into and that are continuing to break to all-time highs or at least rebound the quickest. What are you going to be watching most closely in terms of these earnings, and what are you expecting in terms of these earnings?
Hey, Corey, thanks for having me again. Yeah, so the next week and really the week after that, chock full of these huge names. We have everything from Microsoft and Google to Amazon, and we even had Netflix this week. So some of these stocks have been kind of hoisted above the rest and garnered some pretty lofty expectations. I'm talking specifically about Netflix now, which reported this past Tuesday. Everyone was kind of the mind that, okay, well, we're stuck in quarantine. This is a prime landscape for a video streaming service. That beat wasn't enough to translate into a longer-term rise in the stock price. So that leads me to believe that the expectations going into it were already so high that even a beat of the magnitude that it saw wasn't enough to produce any more gains on the back of that. So now that we're seeing these other companies come up to the plate in terms of Twitter, Google, Microsoft, a ton of other tech names, if they have similar expectations that have been raised, whether well-founded or not, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to follow through to the level that the market is expecting. And because they have been leading the rally, we might start to see some turbulence and maybe a pullback in the next 2 weeks for the broader index.
So do you think that this pullback for the broader index goes the whole way down to those March lows and almost, well, essentially gives up this 50% retracement that we've seen?
I would be hesitant to say all the way to the March lows, but there are certainly analysts out there that would argue even deeper than the March lows. If you take a look back to 2008, 2009, a fairly similar scenario, I suppose, except for the catalyst, you can see we have a spike in volatility met by a bottom in stocks, and then volatility starts to taper off, but the lower low in stocks is not actually established for another few months. So there is some historical precedent for a lower low to be established, but history doesn't always pan out one-to-one. And with the level of, I suppose, assistance that the Fed and governments of the world have offered to the market, I think it would be pretty hard to really see much lower than the March lows.
Hey, fair enough. And that is kind of the support of these markets, right? Is just how much money has been created. Even though it's not all going, say, into the banking or financial system, there is enough money out there, it seems like, at least recently, that was recently created, that does still land in these U.S. equity markets. And the assumption still is that governments and central banks are going to be quite easy as we progress through this kind of uncertain time. So does that mean that a dip should be bought in some of these larger stocks because of the increased usage that people are moving to some of these larger companies?
Yeah, I think that's a fair strategy. The overwhelming opinion of, or the overwhelming stance of all these central bankers is we will do whatever it takes. And as we've seen, that pretty much means opening up the checkbook and just printing money left and right. Whether you agree with that or not on the longer term time frame is another story altogether. But these shorter term pullbacks where we start to see some of these very, very strongly positioned stocks like Microsoft and Apple and Google, Amazon, that are so integrated in our society, at least in North America, if they start to pull back and we do get back down to some of those lows that we saw in March, I would be pretty comfortable buying at those levels for the longer term. I don't think that we'd be completely out of the woods in terms of volatility, and I wouldn't be expecting to double my money overnight or anything like that. But for a longer term investment, yeah, I think that's a comfortable place to buy.
You're not alone in thinking that we are going to continue to see volatility, and that has made it tough for some investors to get on board, especially the ones that watch day after day, because boy, oh boy, these swings have, well, continued to be pretty wild, but volatility has decreased at least a little bit. Let's also talk about the precious metals. This is a bit of a different play in these markets, but it has been interesting to see something like gold continue to perform very well against the U.S. equity markets. They are seeming to move hand in hand, but even today, gold selling off a little bit on the spot market, still above 1700, looking to close this week. If it closes above 1700, another fairly strong close for gold. What are your thoughts on the precious metals from here?
Yeah, so last time we spoke, we kind of outlined the driving fundamental forces behind why I believe gold is attractive. The twofold benefit of safe haven attractiveness, if we do get some more volatility, which is certainly a possibility, the VIX is still elevated. We still get these 2.5 decline days out of nowhere for the Dow Jones and S&P 500. So that's still very much a factor, but the larger picture, I think, is all this easy money that's being injected, and that will feed into inflation eventually, or at least that's my view. So I'm still quite confident in long exposure on gold here. I don't think price is really saying too much otherwise. I mean, we're at multi-year highs above 1700. Just a few months ago, we were at 1500, 1550. So for a safe haven metal to see these types of price moves, we're definitely enjoying some fundamental forces on the back of it, driving it higher, and I think they should continue.
Hey, fair enough. You look at that weekly chart, or really any chart from 2019, and it is a very impressive move higher. Plus, a longer-term chart really shows this U formation where we are coming out of that trough, that multi-year trough, and it looks like heading, well, nicely higher. Now, you mentioned that all this easy money you think leads into inflation eventually, and that would be a major driver for gold. But something that's, I think, interesting on the back of this gold run is that we're not seeing huge inflation. You can even argue we've been seeing bits of deflation scattered around these markets. How important is it to understand that we're not seeing huge inflation, but yet gold is still moving higher?
Yeah, there are a few factors, I think, impacting inflation right now. Obviously, the main one being that spending has gone down so much, demand has gone down so much, so circulating money in the economy has slowed. But also, you have more short-term effects in markets like oil, which I'm sure has been a topic of discussion for most traders this week, going into negative prices. Typically, higher oil prices feed into inflation, but when the commodity is beneath zero, that's going to be a huge remover of inflation over the shorter term. So there are some of these factors that are keeping inflation in check for the time being. I think once we do get a recovery, which is very hard to forecast, unfortunately, we have analysts guessing L-shaped recovery, U-shaped recovery, every letter in the alphabet, but nobody really knows. However, once we do get that, I think the normalcy and stability in the markets, once people start to come back out and spend, if the easy money policies still stay in place, that's when we'll start to see the rise in inflation. So for the time being, it seems like gold traders are kind of looking down the road a little bit and expecting inflation in the future, but they're probably pretty comfortable with not seeing any in the immediate future.
Now, what's your assessment of that relationship that we are seeing between the precious metals and the U.S. markets? You can actually make that argument about a lot of sectors being tied to the health of the U.S. markets and the overall optimism that when markets are moving up, money seeming to land in a wide range of assets. But for gold, do you think it's also crucial that the U.S. markets do remain somewhat elevated, maybe don't go back to those March lows to keep money flowing into the gold price as well?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a part of it. We did see a sell-off in gold, a very drastic one, alongside some of the equity volatility. I think a lot of that was due to liquidity concerns for some traders. I saw a lot of analysts projecting that people had to liquidate their gold positions to pay off their margin elsewhere. We've already seen the CME reduce their margin requirements to trade gold and to hold gold. So there are certainly some market structure issues that are coming into play here with gold. But unless we slip back into that panic that we saw in the onset of this decline, I don't think we'll see the same depth of declines in gold. But it certainly is a possibility. If you were forecasting a dip beneath the March lows in equities, then thereby you would kind of extend into expecting, or at least maybe worrying about, a larger pullback in gold beneath the March lows. But I'm a little bit more optimistic on that. So I don't think we'll hit those March lows in either market. Also, with a gold and equity portfolio, there is sort of a natural hedge in there to some degree, although they're kind of moving in the same direction these days. Over time, there should be some degree of negative correlation that will hopefully work in your favor.
All right, Peter, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for kicking off this Friday with us. I will post a link below this interview to the Daily FX website where people can follow along with your daily notes. Peter, appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey. Always a pleasure.